Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 92 of the O Woman Podcast, and today's episode is about saying goodbye to tampons and saying hello to menstrual cups. So I've talked before in a previous episode about called menstrual cups are for you and for me, about my Diva cup, which is a menstrual cup that catches your period blood instead of using a tampon or a pad, and why I love them. So this episode is going to go a little bit further than that and actually talk about some trends now in the market and how menstrual cups are becoming more popular. And really, I'm kind of reviewing an article that's on racked.com written by Heather Schwedel. And so I wanted to just talk a little bit about kind of what those are, just in case you don't know what menstrual cups are, and a little bit about how the times are changing and how they're becoming more popular. So one of the reasons that the article appears to be written was just to kind of update you about how popular menstrual cups are becoming. Apparently, there's been an increase, a pretty steady increase over time, which is really exciting, that an increase in use of menstrual cups and also use of pads, but cloth pads, which I think is really interesting. And both of those are really environmentally friendly, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. So let me explain what those are in case you don't know. I briefly just mentioned it, but a menstrual cup, it's usually a silicone or a rubber cup, probably about the size of a shot glass. That's how big mine is, because I have one. And it can be different colors. There's a pink one. There's different color, like rainbow colored one. There's clear. The one I have is clear, which generally over time gets stained kind of brown, because it's absorbing the color of your period. So it's about the size of a shot glass. It's got the shape kind of a wine glass to it. And there's a little tiny thing that sticks off of the bottom, almost like the top of the wine glass stem. But it'll fold up and you put it inside your vagina and then you spin it to open up so that it catches your period blood. And it's different than tampons because tampons kind of, they fit firmly and they're just like a menstrual cup, but tampons absorb, you know, they're a cloth. Generally, they're bleached, which is something to think about. Cloth material that is hanging out in your vagina with the string hanging out. And then the menstrual cup is just a cup that catches the blood. So when you remove the cup, you just dump it out or maybe wipe it out if you need to, rinse it out, and put it back in. You can wear them for longer than tampons, etc. So the cloth pads are kind of what you would imagine them to be. They're kind of like pads, but they're cloth, which means you can reuse them. You're not wasting a lot of extra materials and throwing all the stuff into the landfill. And you might like the idea of kind of being a little more close to home with the way you manage your period, because both of these do that. They require you to kind of get more personal with yourself and your period. But with the cloth pads, you're witnessing, you know, it, and you're having to wash it, take care of it, you know, so that's a different thing. So there is a new thing that just came out recently that is called, it's a type of menstrual cup, but it's a company, Intimina, which is from Europe, and the company wanted funding so that they could create these cups. So it's a Swedish brand. And they raised a lot of money. They did Kickstarter. They raised a lot of money. And they wanted to create a bright pink cup. And they wanted it to be, like, collapsible so that you could collapse it to be smaller or expand it to be a little bit larger if you want to catch more period blood or just to wash it. And then when you store it, it's easy to store. So there was a lot of funding for that through Kickstarter. And something that was really interesting about that is that 70% of the donors hadn't ever actually used menstrual cups before, but a lot of them were women in the 20s zone. That's kind of supposedly where menstrual cups are becoming more popular, in the 20s, kind of early 30s, but particularly in the 20s. So most of the people that donated to Kickstarter, and they allowed them to reach way many more times their goal than they had hoped, had never used it before. So that just shows the reach of just the interest. If you find out about something, if you hear about a menstrual cup, you're going to be more inclined to like check it out. It's not something that everybody's ever heard of before, but a lot of women that donated had never used it, but they just liked the idea. And I would wager they probably tried one after that. Also, Diva Cup, which is the brand of menstrual cup that I use, their sales have been growing, pretty steadily. Every year, just like a lot of the other, menstrual cups sales have been growing steadily too. There hasn't been a huge boom in their sales, but it's been gradually growing. So it's interesting to see maybe where that will take us. So one of the things to think about when you're thinking about, wearing a menstrual cup instead of using a tampon, and I've done an episode about this, I'm so into menstrual cups, is why would you want to stop using tampons? Because the article I read kind of highlighted how tampons are going to be kind of a dying thing, is what the author maybe suspects. They're going to be obsolete eventually. There'll be things that just two generations of women wore and not really too many more than that. So why would you want to switch? One of the reasons is that with a menstrual cup, you can wear it for up to 12 hours, but with tampons, you can't. You know that. You read the warning label, it tells you there's a risk for TSS, toxic shock syndrome, which is, you know, like an infection thing, if you leave it in for too long. So you need to change them longer than that. Another cool thing is the cups cost like $40 or something. Mine costs like $40. And you can get them for pre-childbirth or post-childbirth because they're slightly differently sized. You have one before you have a baby, get another one after you have a baby. So what, that's like $80 total for the course of two decades, really. Some cups, they recommend, you know, you trade them out every 5 years. Some say every 8. It really just depends. I've had mine for 5 or 6 years at this point, and it's still in fine shape, and I'll probably keep using it until I have a kid, and then I'll get the post-childbirth one. Because hopefully we only have a couple more years on waiting on, you know, having a kid. So that's one thing, is think about how cheap that's going to be over the life of your period. It's going to save you thousands of dollars. And it's reusable. So what you do is, at the end of every period, you kind of wash it off between wearing it. Like if you go at night without wearing it, you know, I don't know how much you bleed, it depends. You kind of will just wash it off with soap, that's what I do. But they recommend that you boil it, at least the silicone kind, which is what I have, that you just boil it for a short period of time in some water, to make sure that it's totally clean before you use it the next time. And that's what I've done. I've kind of washed it, rinsed it off between nights of wearing it, and then at the end of each period cycle, I boil it, and then I put it back in its little cloth container, and I save it. And I've been doing that for years, and it's always worked out for me. So it's a little bit of maintenance, but it's not as much as lots of other things in your life, if you think about it. And it's so worth saving the money, in my opinion. Another reason why you might want to do it is because for some women, tampons are kind of uncomfortable, even though for me, that I never really felt them much, but having that string kind of dangle around is kind of annoying, or they just feel kind of scratchy. So there isn't anything sticking outside of your body with the cup. You have to be comfortable enough with your body and knowledgeable enough about it to reach up a little bit in your vagina and pull it out. And at first, the first month, it's really painful and horrible, and you think, oh, I'll never get through this. And the month after that, it is totally fine. It's like a complete 360. It's really interesting. Like I said, it'd be a 180. 360 would be back exactly where you started. So it's a 180. So it's really sucky the first month. And then the second month, it's totally fine. And it's really exciting too if you're someone who likes to know more about your body, because it requires that you know more about your body. And it also requires that you be more accountable for what your body does. So for example, taking care of your period, you're not just going to throw a tampon or a disposable pad in the trash and move on thinking of how much trash you make over the years. You think about babies and disposable diapers, how much trash that is. Think about how much trash women produce when they use disposable products for managing their period. So one thing that appealed to me was no waste. Like, I wanted to find a less wasteful way of being a woman, and I really appreciate the cup for that reason. Another thing about if you're wanting to switch or something that she points out in her article is that sometimes it's hard to turn people on to new things like that, like sanitary related things. Because most women just do what their mothers did, if you think about it. Some women change a little bit, but they learn about taking care of themselves from their mothers generally. And so it's easier to just stick with what you kind of already know works for the women in your family. So maybe that works for you. Maybe it's worth thinking outside the box. Now, pads and tampons were around before the 1920s, but they started to get kind of mass marketed in around the 20s. But that's when disposable culture began. So before that, people were using cloth pads a lot more often than, you know, the plastic fake material pads. So it really, you can see the very obvious increase in the purchase of, you know, the disposable products when disposable culture began. So it's really interesting to think about, if you care about that kind of thing, ways that you might want to kind of revert back to a way of thinking of it that isn't just everything is disposable. And a lot of people just kind of want to have their period and forget about it and get rid of it and be like, it's gone. But you can do that too with the menstrual cup, because you rinse it away, you wash it away. It's the same sort of thing. And, you know, if you think about it, it's sad but true that it's easier to throw away, you know, whatever you're using, a diaper, a pad, a tampon, and not think about it, you know, not think about the ramifications of the trash you're making. And like I said before, too, you're minimizing contact with your body, which some people might enjoy, but I think for most people, it's a really great benefit to find out more about yourself and more about your capabilities and be more comfortable touching yourself and getting used to you. And part of the reason why that might be hard, if you're thinking about changing or switching, is because as a society, multiple societies around the world, we're taught to kind of fear our private parts, especially periods and what goes on inside your crotch. And sometimes we're taught to kind of be ashamed of it. Like, you know, you don't really talk about it. I mean, now I feel like it's becoming a greater part of dialogue, which is really nice. But you know, it's not something that people think to talk about so much, that, you know, bodily fluid, periods. No one really wants to talk about periods. They're not sexy. They're not fun. They're gross, you know, theoretically. To me, they're sexy and fun, depending. Excuse me. And I did an episode about period sex and why period sex is great. So that's just another extension of kind of getting used to your body and realizing, wait a minute, it has a lot more capabilities and it's a lot more fantastic than I even really expected. But because we're taught to kind of fear and shame parts of our bodies, you might not know about menstrual cups, because it's not something that might not be discussed around you, but it's becoming an increasingly fantastic option. They've been around for a long time, but now people are realizing, hey, this is great. They're also realizing, like I said before, it's cheap. It's going to be so much cheaper. It's going to be less trash. It's going to be give me a chance to get in touch with my body. It's going to be just as safe, or even safer, depending on which doctors you talk to use, because there's no risk for toxic shock syndrome. And just, you know, many of those reasons. So one of the problems is, though, at least in the U.S., not all stores carry menstrual cups. That might be one reason why you didn't hear about it. You know, they're not always offered in a Walgreens or an Eckerd or whatever. How saturated, you know, how in the market menstrual cups are, you know, it's not as much. For example, Canada has had them around a lot longer and a lot more in the public eye than we have. And in most stores in Canada, they carry it, you know, most places where you would carry pads and tampons. So there's a lot more access to them. But the issue with that is, one reason why stores might not want to carry them is they realize, wait a minute, if a woman is buying tampons or pads, she comes back every month or every 2 months to get an extra pack. But if she's buying a menstrual cup, she's not going to come back for like a decade. So we're losing a customer. So that's a reason, if you think about it, why you might not see it around so much. Not because it's not a great, safe alternative, but because it's not going to be cost, well, you know, it's cost effective for you, so it's not cost effective for the people trying to make the sales. Another thing, really the last thing I want to talk about today, that the author mentions in her article, is that a lot of people don't think about the ingredients in stuff that goes in their body. And she even goes so far as to say that you probably know more about the ingredients in the sweater you're wearing. And, you know, is it free trade cotton? Is it organic cotton? You know, that kind of thing. Then you do about tampons. But there's a lot of strange materials in tampons. I mean, first of all, the thing that really I disliked hearing about it is most tampons are, they're bleached, you know, material. And you can buy some that aren't, but and you can buy some that are organic and that are natural. And, you know, as long as you're being a conscious consumer, make the decision that you think is best for you. But there's a lot of crazy things in tampons. But a menstrual cup, it's just the silicone. And that's it. So you compare those two, look both of them up if you're worried about it, and just see. And like I said before, the author thinks that tampons and pads, or at least the disposable pads, are likely going to become obsolete eventually, and we'll be looking at renewable ways to manage our period. So the Diva Cup, well, that's the brand I use, the menstrual cup. There's a lot of different brands. And then also the cloth pads, which take more time to deal with, but is it going to be worth it for you? Think about it and see. So I'm going to put a link to this article on the body of the post today. Check it out if you want to read more information, because I just kind of went over the highlights. But I wanted to point out that things are changing in the world of, you know, women as consumers for their bodies, you know, for their specific female body parts. So I think it's really neat. And I can't wait to see where it goes. I really hope that my daughters will just take for granted wearing menstrual cups because they're so popular. I think that'd be really great. But anyway, so thanks so much for listening today. I hope this was somewhat enlightening and at least interesting to you. As always, I love talking with you guys. Please check out the website, owomanpodcast.com. You can email me, emma@owomanpodcast.com. You can write a comment on any of the episodes on the website. You can do any of those things. You can check me out on Facebook. So A Woman Podcast on Facebook. And then also subscribe to A Woman Podcast on iTunes and rate some of the episodes. That would be really helpful and really fantastic. Thanks for listening. Happy Friday. And I will talk to you next time. Okay, bye.